The opening passages of our reading from the Gospel of Mark today sound very much like a story told around a campfire to me. There's a wise elder telling the tale, his face illumined by the dancing flames before him in the campfire. Around the wise elder, there's a circle of young and old, all listening in rapt attention. Faces set and eyes glued on the elder. They sit in great expectation and anticipation of the story to unfold. A story of days gone by. A story handed down from elder to younger, now elder to younger, now elder. The story begins. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth, Galilee, and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. A voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The places are familiar to those gathered around that fire. They know about John the Baptizer and his cousin Jesus. They know about people going to the river to be baptized. This is their family history. This is the story of their ancestors. The story has been told again and again, and yet it never loses its power. The story never goes dull in its retelling. This is our story as well. Although we're not around a campfire gathered in a circle, we continue to be drawn together to hear the story told again, and perhaps to catch a new glimpse of truth in each telling. If you were here last week, your ears might have perked to hear that a voice came from heaven saying, "You're my Son, the Beloved, with you I am well pleased." Didn't that same voice just speak from the heavens in last week's reading? Wasn't that on the mountaintop with Elijah and Moses? Yes. And last week there was an added line. Listen to him. This time we have the first pronouncement of Jesus as the Beloved, as God's Son, with whom God is well pleased. And we can say in our minds, yes, indeed, Jesus is the Beloved, the one in whom God is well pleased. But can we imagine that reality for ourselves? Can we imagine ourselves as God's daughter or son, the Beloved in whom God is well pleased? Maybe, but probably not, at least not 99% of the time. We have so many barriers we put up to prevent us from accepting our belovedness. We have padded ourselves with so many buffers around us to protect us from having God's love bore through. We are so certain of our unlovedness and our unlovableness that we've convinced ourselves that there is no way that God can love us. We know and God knows our hearts, and therefore God knows we cannot possibly live up to the standard required to be beloved. Not me, we say. Sure, Jesus is beloved by God. He's Jesus. But not me. I'm me. With all my stuff, my history, my present, my life, all that stuff. Not me. I don't measure up. I was at a really fascinating meeting on Thursday with our bishops and some other wonderful folks from around our diocese and a guy named Tom Brackett, who's the missioner for New Church Starts and Church Initiatives in the Episcopal Church USA. And I got to tell you, this is the first time in 53 years that I have used the words fascinating and meeting in the same sentence. But this meeting was fascinating and a little scary and an exciting Holy Spirit scary kind of way. In the meeting, Bishop Sloan shared a story, as he is so good to do, and I hope he won't mind my sharing it with you. When Key was a young boy, he and several of his friends got some explosives and blew up their neighbor's mailbox. I guess there wasn't a lot of entertainment in Mississippi in the early 1960s. Naturally, the identities of the vandals were discovered, and young Key's parents required him to go confess to the neighbor and apologize for blowing up the mailbox. Young Key begrudgingly went to Mr. Smith's house and rang the doorbell. Mr. Smith answered, and Key said, "Mr. Smith, I blew up your mailbox." Mr. Smith responded, "I know." And rubbing Key on the head said, "And you're a good boy." Mr. Smith did not berate him for his devilish behavior or lack of judgment. He didn't threaten to send him to the penitentiary for decimating federal property. He rubbed his head and said, "I know, and you're a good boy." Mr. Smith must have had an up-close and personal experience with God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that even where you are and where you've been, that you are still and always will be beloved by God? Those words are not just for Jesus. That voice is not just for Jesus. We've been brought into the family of God, and we are all beloved by God. No ifs, ands, or buts. I have a friend who's learning to live as a child of God after having been a victim of human trafficking for many, many years. It's a struggle for her sometimes to allow God to love her. She's been in some really bad situations and in some really seedy places, and she is still fighting to allow herself to be loved. Something that has not ever happened for her before. It's hard for her to acknowledge that even in those dark and horrible places and times, God has called her beloved. No one else has ever done that for her with any sincerity. My friend is struggling with the idea of being beloved by God. Somehow, we want to equate belovedness with protected or safe or removed from the dirt and hurt that is in the world. If that's the case, we might want to look at the one first named by God as beloved. Jesus was not protected nor removed from the dirt and hurt of the world. In fact, he sought it out. He went to the places of the most dirt and the most hurt, and he put himself in the midst of it. He threatened the pious and self-righteous, and it cost him his life. Being beloved by God does not guarantee an easy ride or a pain-free life. What it does guarantee is an assurance of never, ever being alone, and of being known and loved to your very core, no matter what. Now, does that mean that we can live in reckless abandon and debauchery, as St. Paul would say? By no means. When we realize that we are beloved, that God loves us, even us, then we are freed to love and serve others in God's name. Barriers are broken down when we come to the understanding that we are good boys and good girls in God's eyes. Flawed as we are. Lent's normally a time when we bewail our manifold wickedness. That's a heavy load to carry. I think most of us bewail our manifold wickedness more often than we rejoice in our belovedness. The kingdom of God has come near, Jesus said. Repent and believe in the good news. Amen.